Welcome to the Typical Life Coach Podcast.
If you do what everyone else does,
you will get what everyone else gets.
Yes, John Strasser here, founder of the Insight Coaching Community, the place coaches go who want to become the best in the world. Would you like to hear from a successful coach who has built a thriving business by taking the simple path? Of course you would. In this week's episode of the Typical Life Coach Podcast, A Simple Path to Six Figures, we're interviewing Dylan Taylor. Dylan is going to share his journey of focusing on a couple of simple actions while consistently striving toward courage rather than fearlessness. Let's do this. Okay, welcome to the podcast. This is Dylan Taylor. Dylan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, man. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and thanks so much for being with us today. So I want to dive right in and ask you some strong questions. The first question I want to ask you is, what's the biggest mistake you made early in the days of building your coaching business?
That is a good question. I would say the biggest mistake I ever made was, actually, might need a second or two to sit with that. It's hard to pin it down to one single mistake, but I would just say anything that kept me from doing the work. And that's overly broad, kind of on purpose, but you know, the work being just like the four steps, constantly reaching out to people. And I guess I'm talking more about the creating clients side of running a coaching business, but yeah. It's really just, okay, these are the four steps. It's this simple. I have to constantly be getting into conversation with people, and whatever the biggest mistake I would make would be letting any sort of fear or story or just avoidance tactic get in the way of actually sitting at my desk and reaching out to people and setting up calls. That's really it. So it's hard to put that down as to like one single mistake. It's like, oh, like telling myself I didn't get enough sleep. I'm too tired to reach out. I'm not going to have enough good energy, you know, to reach out to people. Or, oh, I can't actually reach out to this person. This person would never say yes to this. They're way above me in terms of their level. But yeah, just, anything that kept me from doing the things that I, at the bottom of my heart, absolutely knew, and at the things that you yourself would tell us week after week that we had to do, which is just get into conversation with people, invite people to coaching sessions, coach them to the best of our abilities, set up proposals, ask them if they want to keep working with us. That's the biggest mistake. And I can expound, I'm sure, on
yeah
examples, but that at the heart of things, that would be the biggest thing. Just doing nothing. So the biggest mistake was just not doing anything at all, I would say.
I love it. Now you, Dylan, you are a master certified Insight coach. You've been through the Insight coaching community and gotten your certifications through that. You've built a great business. You're a six-figure coach essentially now. Yep. And needed to introduce you in that capacity real quick for listeners. Now, you mentioned something in your response to my first question. You said, need to be constantly reaching out to people. So for anybody listening who hears that, this idea of like constantly reaching out, and their thought is, man, that just sounds really hard. In fact, we had somebody come into our world recently, Dylan, who was very surprised at how much effort is required in order to build the business, and was sort of coming to terms with this idea of nobody's coming, and you know, in the end, you're going to have to do it. So what would you say to that coach who's like, dang, man, is there another way?
Yeah, good question. It's so interesting, I guess, the different lenses with which we look at things, because, you know, I think about, especially in that my early days of just every single week reaching out to people, you know, coaching marketers would always reach out, and they still do sometimes, but I don't know what it was. Maybe because I was just constantly consuming coaching, life coaching content. And so like people on Facebook would just like reach out to me, LinkedIn, all that. And they would always say something like, hey, Dylan, you know, aren't you sick and tired of just like running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to find clients or get clients? Wouldn't it be great if there was just some easy, simple method to get your first 10 paying clients this month or something? Like, don't you want to make your first 10K in this month? And I loved when people would reach out to me like that, because I got to basically say, I literally couldn't be happier with my method of building relationships and, you know, the propensity to create paid clients. And they'd be like, oh, okay, that was very, okay, cool. Organic outreach, it's great. But it's probably pretty slow, huh? It's probably a lot of work and kind of like the slow method. And I think when you're in it, it can feel very slow. You know, when it's sort of new, and it can feel very overwhelming. It's like, whoa, I have to like just be reaching out to people. Like, I'm just like hitting people up all the time, trying to get into their world. And if you zoom out, certainly if you look at my coaching career, it is in fact, ironically, the quickest way to build a life coaching business. You know, is it going to happen in 10 days, 10 clients in 10 days? Probably not. I would say that that's incredibly unlikely. But what you can do in a year by just every single week picking a certain number of people to reach out to, whether that's 5, 10, 15, 30 people, will put you miles above any other, I don't know, methodology, or certainly any of the, I guess, marketing methods. You know, like I know you talk about this all the time, but people talk about ClickFunnels, people talk about email campaigns, people talk about social media posts, building a following. And again, all that stuff is great if you get to a point where that's really working for you. But if you are new to the coaching game, and certainly if you have zero clients or less than 10 clients, I mean, you have to get into people's lexicon. Like, you have to actually get into the worlds and minds of people who know that you are a coach, who know what coaching with you is like. And I mean, part of my answer to your question, it's a great question. Part of my answer is, you know, there is like a harsh side of me, which is like, this is how it is, man. Like, there are certain fundamental truths, and it kind of takes me to this concept that I think of, which is not only in building a coaching business, but just in life in general, right? I think that there's kind of two ways of looking at life in a way. You can think that I am unchangeable, and how can I change the world so that it can sort of bend to me, my proclivities, my interests, the way I want to maneuver through things. Or you can think about things like, the world is unchangeable. So what can I do? How can I change? How can I grow and adapt myself so that I can take full advantage of all that the world has to offer? And obviously, neither one of those is true. Like, we're changing all the time, the world's changing all the time. But I just, in terms of utility and usefulness, and in my experience, what brings a truly fulfilling, rewarding life is acting as though that second thing is true, that the world is not changeable. And it is up to us as human beings to learn as much as we can, to adapt our skills and practice uncomfortable things as much as we can, to get as much success and fulfillment and rewards that we possibly can. I mean, you know, reaching out to people, for me, at least I look back to those early days, and it's like, I didn't love it. I didn't love reaching out to people all the time. There's so many big, I guess, beginner coach, like the early days stories. And mine was always like, I don't want to be a salesman. I don't want to seem like I'm just like the salesy guy who works for a multi-level marketing company is just reaching out to all these people he went to high school with. I haven't talked to them in 10 years. They're like, oh, hey, Dylan, you just out of the blue, just for no reason at all, just wanted to set up a connect call with me. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want. That'd be great. that kept me from doing a lot in the early days. But your question is, what would I say to the person who's like, this just seems like so much work. This just seems like this is a lot. I wasn't really expecting this. I would say, if you want to build a life coaching business, a big part of that is, I mean, life coaching is just building relationships with people. It's not like that's not to say that you have to become best friends with all these people. But it involves having conversations with them and getting to really know them and being really curious about them. And in my opinion, man, doing that with like a ClickFunnels or an email campaign, that is the hard way. That is like that. I feel like that would take me so much longer than just getting on the phone, sending a voice message to somebody and hopping on a call with them. Maybe they say yes, maybe they say no. But for me, that's actually like, ironically, I know it may not feel this way, but connecting with people and inviting them to coaching sessions, doing these four steps, is actually the quickest, simplest, easiest way in my experience. But it's the fears and the doubts and the stories that make us feel otherwise.
Yeah, I really love what you're sharing. You know, you've been involved in several of them. We've done lots of gifted workshops, pop-up workshops, different experiences for people in the world who are not formally in our world. And I've said many times, to newer coaches, as they're beginning to get this, and this is starting to sink in, the reality of this business, which is you're going to have to do some, that you will not be successful if you can't have a conversation with another human being that you don't know. You know, an authentic, somewhat meaningful conversation. And the reaction was, and continues to be, like, wait, what? You know, oftentimes the response is, I'm an introvert. That's not what I want to do. And love what you're saying, which is it's the straight line. I mean, to me, the straightest line to get from no business to business is turning to the person who you know, who you care about, who knows you, who cares about you, and saying, I'm pursuing my passion of coaching. Do you know anyone who could use a conversation with me? I would love to offer that to them as a gift. I mean, that's in it. And then the response is oftentimes like, wait, what? Like, you know, and a million stories show up of like, wait a second, but I don't know if I have my website ready yet. And I didn't choose my name. And, you know, and it's like, it's like all these defense mechanism stories just pop in. Cause if we can spend months building the click funnel and setting up the autoresponder series and establishing, you know, the downloadable, clickable deal, the whole thing, like, then we get to do that and we never have to face doing this, the thing we want to do. It's so ironic. We want to do something so badly. We want to coach, and we unconsciously find ways to not coach.
We do it with everything. It's the things that we want most, or the things that seem or feel the most desirable to us, that we so often keep ourselves from doing those things. And you and I were chatting, obviously I'm here in like my janky little apartment. This is my first week. I just moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina. It's been lovely. Amazing. And oh my God, like, I'm here. I'm literally here doing exactly what I wanted. I wanted to get uncomfortable. I wanted to experience another culture. I wanted to learn another language. This is exactly what I wanted. And I get here and I'm terrified. And all I want to do, be totally honest, I don't do this, but all I want to do a lot of the time is just stay in this apartment because it's safe and I have my laptop and I can do FaceTime with my friends back home. And it's just so interesting because the mind is just constantly trying to keep us safe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so we think. And then yet when I go out and I meet people and I have dinner with people and I go out to nightclubs, it's like, that's what I'm here to do. It's just like super fun, super rewarding, super fulfilling. And then in those moments, I'm like, why would I ever stay in the apartment? And it's like that with coaching, you know, oh my God, I'm so scared to reach out to this person. I'm terrified to put myself out there in this way. And then you coach one of those people that you reached out to, they love it. It changes their life. It's one of the best conversations they've ever had in the world. And then you go, yeah, why, what? How? Who am I not to reach out to this person? Who am I not to continue to reach out to people so that I can help them? I mean, dude, so like, I would say 99% of the people I've ever coached, it was their first time ever having a life coaching session with a coach. Yeah. So it's like, people have no idea what this is. People don't know what they're missing. People don't know what is possible for them. And we have this gift. Like, if you know how to coach well, that is something that so many people have no idea. I mean, even in normal conversation, like just asking really thought-provoking questions that are really curious, you can see it. Like, people immediately, they're like, I like talking to this guy. Wow, like, that's a great question. I never really thought about that. It's like, it's such a gift to ask people questions and to have them think deeply about their lives and what they want and what's possible. Like, these are the skills that we as coaches have. And I always think, like, who are you not to reach out to people and offer this to them? you know, it's like almost selfish to keep it to yourself. It's like there's so many people out there that you could be affecting, and that could be there's so many relationships that you could really deepen. And so go out and do it. But you know, it's scary.
Yeah. It's so good what you're saying. And I love the idea of it being selfish, keeping it to oneself. And it's because keeping it to oneself is making it all about oneself, that it's about what will they think? What if I fail? I don't know what's going to happen. Just, it's all about the coach focusing on what could go wrong in relation to them rather than what could go right in relation to the infinite number of people in the world who could use this kind of conversation or a professional coaching session.
That's exactly it. And I think you just hit the nail on the head. We so often, it's so easy to think about what could go wrong. Like we have this negativity bias in the brain where, you know, even if like someone gives you a compliment or someone says something really critical or harsh to you, it's like a week from now, what do you think you're going to remember? You're going to think you're going to remember the critical comment. You know, our brains do have some sort of bias toward negativity. And so I think it's so much easier to like imagine and feel almost what could possibly go wrong. And it's unfortunately harder to think about what could go right, which is like, dude, you could coach this person. And like I said, change their life. And you know, the amount of times people are like, even with a connect call, you know, you reach out to someone and offer to connect with them. It's like, okay, have I reached out to people to connect and, you know, maybe invite them, maybe not, but do that. And then they're skeptical and they're like, what's this about? What, like, what's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's happened. I've reached out to a lot of people over the years. You're going to get every single possible type of response. You know, it's going to happen. But like the amount of times people were like, oh my, like, thank you so much for reaching out. It's like people are so bad at keeping up with people these days that all it takes is one person to send a thoughtful message or a thoughtful response or, you know, an offer to just like catch up for 30 minutes. People don't do that. So it's a special thing to give to people. Like I said, I feel like I'm sort of talking in circles here, but it's just, there's so much positivity that could come out of it. And it's unfortunate how much it's just easier to think about what could negatively go wrong.
Yeah. We're conditioned that way. You know, you've mentioned steps and connecting and inviting. So for the uninformed, and by the way, if you are listening to this and you aren't as informed as you'd like to be around the context with which we're speaking right now, then dive into episode 27 of this podcast called Start Here. And it's a baseline summary of all that we do in terms of coaching. And then right now in this conversation, in terms of actually building the business and making money. So Dylan, we've got connect, invite, coach, and ask. Can you very quickly just take us through what that actually looks like for you as a business model?
Yeah, it hasn't really changed at all in my years of coaching. It's been a very simple framework. And of course, it's different. It's different every time because your interactions are going to be different and different people are going to kind of want different things. But on the whole, here's really how I've created pretty much every single paid client in my business. Reach out in some way, shape, or form. Say that I, you know, hey, what's going on? If it's usually a person from my past. I've never reached out to strangers. That's just something I've never really been interested in. And maybe that's a story because I'm afraid. But I've always just felt like I have all these people at my disposal. People I went to school with. People, you know, I went to middle school, high school, college with. Bunch of jobs. It's like I have a plethora of people. And I'm on Facebook. So it's like, all right, let me just reach out to people. And so basically what I did.
Can I stop you for a second?
Please.
Yeah. I want to just stop right there because I think that's very valuable that you've never reached out to people you don't know. It's always been people you know, because the newer coach and certainly the coach coming into our world, for the most part, is more interested in reaching out to all the people they don't know before the people they do know, usually as a way to avoid having to possibly not be enough, fail, mess up, you know, with their friends and family. So just, can you speak to that real quick? Cause that seems very important. What you just said, successful coach hasn't reached out to people he doesn't know.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I can say that in my coaching career, the vast majority of my long-term high-paying clients have been my friends. Sometimes my close friends. One of my best friends has been there since day one. We recently just signed on a 2-year agreement. He paid in full and, you know, no discounts, no nothing. Because he gets so much value out of what we do. And I guess this is kind of a conversation for another, this is a separate conversation, but like separating the, you know, the friend self from the coach self is very important, which I do that very well, but it should just be known. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit different now that, you know, I'm at the level now where people are starting to sort of recognize me online and strangers are kind of reaching out to me. But that took, again, a very long time of me consistently reaching out to people and doing the work myself. So that's kind of different. But yeah, I mean, I have people that I've been working with for years that are just my friends. And it's fulfilling, it's rewarding. It kind of deepens our friendship in a way because we're able to keep it separate from everything else. And when we're just hanging out, we're just hanging out. But when we're coaching, we are coaching. And I don't know. That's just always, I never really had to try to think about it that way. It was just kind of what came naturally to me, especially because when I first started coaching, all I did was reach out to my friends and said, "Hey, can I coach you for free?" I didn't know what a gifted, you know, this was before I got into the ICC. I was just like, I need practice. I need reps. I have no idea how to coach. I don't even know what I'm doing. Can I coach you, please? Please? Can I coach you for free? And that obviously, you know, spitballed into other things. But, do you want me to get back into the
four steps? Yeah. Well, let me ask you this just before you jump back into the four steps. What do you think it would have looked like or would look like if you did decide to start to pursue lots of people outside of your inner circle, lots of people who you have no idea, you don't know them in any way whatsoever? Like, how would that have been different?
It's a good question, man. I'm so averse to that. Even thinking about that right now, I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do that. Because it would feel, at least to me, it would feel like I would have to spend more time proving myself and kind of convincing people, strangers, that it's worth their time to get on a call with me. And that's very different than, you know, because if it's a stranger, you have no connection with this person. I just imagine, again, I haven't spent a lot of time doing this, so I don't fully know, but I would just imagine that the default with that is like, all right, what do you want? Okay, okay. This complete stranger who happens to have in his bio in LinkedIn that he's a life coach just happens to, he's just setting up random calls with random people. He just happened to pick me out of the crowd and just wants to connect for the sake of connecting. And let me be clear, maybe this is just me with my own story here, but compare that to reaching out to, I don't know why this works so well, but like a lot of my first paying clients were people that I went to middle school with. And some of them I didn't even talk to since middle school. Haven't seen them. And you know, last time we saw each other, we were like 13. Now we're on a Zoom call. We're at 28. It's literally like twice the age.
Yeah.
But just having that little bit of tethering, you know, like this person is from my past. I had gym class with this person is entirely different because it just makes sense. Like, hey, especially after COVID, man, it's like, hey, I'm like, what's up, Johnny? No, I haven't seen you since 8th grade gym class. So I'm sure this sounds super random. But I'm, you know, COVID really got me thinking. I really want to kind of nurture more connections. I just kind of want to stay more in touch with the people from my past and my world. Like obviously we're Facebook friends. I don't know if you're interested at all, but I'm setting up connect calls with people just to catch up. I'd love to catch up with you, man. I don't know what you're up to, but I don't know. Like, would you be down for that? Sometimes they don't respond. That's fine. Sometimes they're like, ah, well, I mean, I've had most people don't say no. I feel like most people aren't like, no, thanks. I don't want to connect with you. They just don't respond. But sometimes they're like, dude, yeah, that'd be great. Sure. Why not? And I guess this is going back into the four steps, but to answer your question there, it's just like, that is so much, it just makes more sense. I feel like that's so much more organic and just makes sense. And you were asking, what would it be like if I were to start, if I actually reached out to strangers? I imagine the question would always exist of like, why? This person that I'm reaching out to, I just imagine they would be like, why would I get on a call with you? I have no idea who you are. So just my thoughts. How does that answer land?
No, it answers it. No, just curious as to what would come to mind for you. It is like what we've talked about so far for coaches. It's an unconscious way to make it take longer, to avoid having to actually do it. You know, we're talking about an unconscious choice to actually pursue something that won't work very well so that they don't have to do the work, so that they don't have to feel less than, fail, all these sorts of things that are completely an illusion. And it still, though, is the much more direct and faster route than let me spend a year building a funnel. It's still reaching out, but why be the no, and why would you want to withhold the opportunity of even a connect call, which can be so meaningful and powerful for another human being? Why would you want to withhold that from someone who you already know to a certain extent? Last thing before we move back into the four steps, what we've seen again and again, and this is certainly your story, is that people who sign up with coaches generally know the coach. There's a relationship there. No matter what, there's some established relationship. So our approach has always been, or maybe our advice, that being the case, you got to be getting to know people. You've got to be engaging in relationships, cultivating relationships. Because if you're not, then who do you have who might eventually sign up? I mean, what has been your experience for that on that, or what kind of comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think I have anything else to add. That you said it perfectly. If I didn't know these people, if these people were not in my world, I never would have set up calls with them. I never would have coached them. They never would have been deeply affected by it. And
yeah,
then they never would have said, I mean, a lot of these people, you know, I would say like 10-20% of the time you coach someone, they're going to be like, after the first session, you're going to be like, how do I pay you for this? This was incredible. I was not expecting this. I didn't know what coaching was. I didn't know you were just going to ask me a bunch of questions and I was going to realize things about my entire life I never knew until this moment. It's like, how do I pay you? And then you go, okay, great. So no, I don't think I have anything to add to that. That was perfect.
Great. And then coming back to the connect step, for anyone listening, because certain people will certainly hear you saying, I'm reaching out to my middle school buddies. I had this awakening during COVID. I want to establish more relationships. Are you down to have a connect call? Their thought might be, hey, like that seems kind of shady. You know, how do you move them from I'm getting to connect with you to potentially creating space for you to see the possibility and having a gifted coaching session with me? In other words, Dylan, like what's the actual transition look like from connect step, from your getting to know people better, to the invite step where you're inviting them to a gifted coaching session?
Great question. Here's how I did it. I would get on calls with people to connect, to just catch up. Literally, like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking at all about inviting them to a coaching session. You know, that's always there. But my priority is I want to ask them questions. I want to know what they've done since I've seen them, and I want to know what they're up to. And so I would get on a connect call with people who agreed. And the first thing I did, I wanted to always make sure that I'm not going first. You know, it's like we're gonna exchange, you know, what's going on. I come not like heavy or pushy, but like excited. Yeah. I come excited and I'm like, dude, what's up? Like, it's so crazy to see you. On the Zoom call, I haven't seen you since we were like 14 years old. And it's, you know, it's not like every single person I connected with was from middle school, but it's like, I'm so excited to see you. Like, what's going on? Give me the whole story. Give me the spiel. What are you up to? What have you been working on? And then they'll you know, some people are more articulate than others. Some people have crazier stories than others. And I just sit there and I ask questions, man. I ask follow-up questions. That's insane. Okay. So then, you went to that, and it's not, none of it was, it was not disingenuous. I was curious. And I got more curious. I know you share a similar story of like, I wasn't curious about people at all. I certainly wasn't when I first started, but you practice and curiosity becomes a muscle. You know, I'm very curious about people. I want to know, I'm going to ask them a ton of questions, but I get them to talk. I get them to talk about themselves. And what I learned, again, this is not a sales tactic. This is not like a in order to psychological trick. People, when they are talking to someone who's genuinely curious about them, and is spending 30, 45 minutes, an hour and a half asking questions and getting to know them. You know, people, you don't need a psychology degree to know when someone is just kind of playing you just so that they can get something out of you. And I would never do that. I would just talk to them and ask about their lives and see what they're up to now. And inevitably in that conversation, they'd be like, what about you, man? Like, dude, I've been talking this whole time. Like, what's up in your world? Like, what are you up to? And then I would tell my story, especially if they were super open and vulnerable. You know, I would get very vulnerable and open. So it's like, this is, you know, we're connecting here. We're actually connecting. We're not just checking in with each other. I'm going to tell you about, you know, my rock bottom that I hit, you know, failing out of college, getting my life back together, getting really into personal development, starting a life coaching business. And obviously that's where it would sort of turn up to, which is like, dude, honestly, I'm like building a life coaching business right now, actually. And that's been my favorite thing I've ever done. I just helping people get to where they want to go. It's just been super rewarding. And a lot of times they'd be like, whoa, really? That's awesome. Like, what is that? Like, tell me more about that. Talk about it a little bit. And then at some point, you know, if it makes sense, I would be like, yeah, I mean, dude, I would, let's do a session. I'd love to invite you to a coaching session with me, like totally a gift. What do you say? And they'd be like, oh, sure. Yeah, that sounds great. Sometimes they're like, I'll think about it. Or like, I'm good. But a lot of times they're just like, oh, sure. Yeah, why not? Because it's an organic, genuine invite. It's not a Facebook post. It's not an Instagram post asking if anyone wants to do a session. It's you connecting with another person, looking them in the eyes and saying, let me invite you, just you. This is me inviting you directly to a coaching session. Or you could do an indirect invite. If it doesn't, you know, make sense, you could say, yeah, oh, by the way, like, who do you know that you think would really benefit from a coaching session with me? You know, I'm always looking to help more people. And if that didn't come up in the conversation and we make it to the end of the conversation, I would, most of the time, I would say most connect calls I would invite. My rule is like, invite everybody. Invite everybody. That was my rule. Invite everybody. And at the end, if it didn't really come up in that way organically, like I mentioned, I would just say, hey, this was awesome, Johnny. Like, I really enjoyed connecting with you. I actually wanted to ask you at the end here, it's okay. And it's okay if you're not interested in this, but I just wanted to ask, would you want to do a coaching session with me? Yeah, totally, totally a gift. I'd love to invite you. What do you say? And sometimes like people who didn't seem interested at all, weren't curious about coaching at all at the end of the call, yeah. I would ask that and they'd be like, really? Oh my God. Yeah, that'd be great. I would love that. That'd be fantastic. Wow. And same thing. Sometimes they'd be like, yeah, I'll let you know. Or like, no, thanks. But a lot of people, especially if you've just spent an hour with them getting genuinely curious, again, you can't fake that. It's really hard to fake that type of interaction. They'd be like, sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know? And then we'd set it up, put it on the calendar. I would never, ever go to the next step, whatever the next step is, without finishing the following step. So I would never get off a call with somebody and then try to coordinate later a call or anything like that. It's like, no, I'm not going to get off this call until we schedule the next thing. Not in a pushy way, but it's like, I'm not going to come like hunting this person down later. So that was really important. Step three, coach, I would just set up.
Oh, let me jump in.
Please.
Yeah, it's so good what you shared. What you just said then, that you wouldn't get off the Connect call after you had invited somebody to experience your coaching as a gift before then scheduling that call. That is one for everyone listening to not miss, because I've seen it countless times that coach is able to, and bless their heart, they were able to get it done and just say, hey, if you're open to it, let's have a session. And then feel nervous to then ask, how about Tuesday at this time or this time? And then they're left not having done it. They have to reach back out. They put that off. I mean, I know coaches right now who have not reached back out to set up the call, and it's been like a week or more. And they've got this backlog of people who said they were interested. And then a point comes where they're like, yeah, I think it's too late. I mean, yeah. So what would you say to a coach who hears that, says, yeah, I get it, sounds good, sounds easy, or sounds simple, maybe not easy. Dylan, I find that in the moment, I just can't do it.
Practice. Just gotta practice. Gotta practice. The next time, and there are so many role-playing opportunities too. Like if you find another coach or just anybody, or if you're just by yourself in the mirror, or, you know, a great thing to do is to record yourself. That's really uncomfortable. If you want to, you know, cringe at yourself, is just do a recording of yourself, or just say out loud. It's like, yeah, I would love to invite you to a coaching session with me. Not sure if you're interested, but it would be my gift. What do you say? Are you down? They're like, yeah, cool. I would always start, I guess in my early days, I would always start with, cool, same time next week work for you. Same day, same time next week work for you. Cause it's like quick. You don't even have to. You don't even really have to think about the calendar. You just be like, oh, yeah, I mean, we met at this time at this day. Same time next week, work for you. A lot of times, if they were able to meet you then, they'll be able to meet you next week at the same time. But sometimes, you know, they're like, oh, I can't, blah, 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 this is this. And I would often say, I don't know, it just takes practice, man. Like, I have my calendar up right here, and I'll just look at it and be like, okay, cool. So next, you know, same day, same time next week doesn't work for you. What days are most open for you? And then like, oh, Tuesday's pretty good. Awesome. Tuesday. Does 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. work better for you?
Yeah.
And then just work your way through. I mean, I think just through practice and sheer exposure, you will find out that other human beings that you potentially coordinate this coaching process with, no one is out to kill you. Like no one is here to hurt you. You know, no one is going to breathe fire if you like stumble over your words when you're trying to set up a gifted coaching session. People are just people, and they just want, you know, they don't really know this process. So it's up to you to just be like, yeah, this is how it works. Yeah, we'll set up a call. Let's do it. And that just gets easier as you practice more and more. Like say the words out loud over and over and over again. Practice with a friend and practice with people. You know, it's going to get messy. It's. I would hate to look. I would love it, but I would be so interested to see like recorded Zoom calls or like Connect calls of my earlier invites, because it would be so much less smooth than they are now, because I've done them. I've done it hundreds of times. I've invited so many people to coaching sessions. So now when it comes out, it's like, yeah, of course it's smooth and silky. Like I've gotten really good at it. I put a ton of repetitions in. So practice.
So good. Yeah, you said something a little while ago that I think is also really valuable to mention again, and that is to paraphrase, it doesn't take a psychology degree to know when someone's trying to get one over on you. You know, this idea of like you're connecting with people in the back of your mind as a professional coach building a business is the intention and idea that, hey, if there's an opportunity, most likely if there's an opportunity for you, it's mostly been, I'm going to invite one way or another. That's the rule here. There's that. Mm-hmm. But then the majority of the experience for this connect, for this person, is authentically experiencing you being generally interested in them, and I've had this, sounds like you've had this, like maybe a multi-level marketer, network marketing mm-hmm. person reaches out and you feel it. You know, I feel it. I feel it in the initial message. There's an energy of like, this person's trying to get one over on me, man. You know, that mm-hmm. they're not, my best interest is not in their best interest, and I better you know, spidey sense kick in. I better kind of like be careful here.
Yeah, intentions are obvious. Intentions are obvious. And if your intentions are good, and a lot of people, I mean, I would say pretty much everybody who wants to start a life coaching business does so because they like helping people. They like self-improvement. They're curious about building a really deep and meaningful business. And it's like, yeah, okay, I do need to create clients. I do need to make money. Of course. Yeah, of course. But I think at the heart of, to put it like, a cherry on top of everything you just shared, is a big reason why it was sort of easier for me to be detached during these Connect calls and just focus on connecting with people was it just very simple. Probably, you know, it's like insightful to me, maybe obvious to other people. It's just like, they can say no. You have my permission to say no. I'm going to invite you to a coaching session. I know in my brain, I know I'm probably going to invite you to a coaching session. It's like, boom, that's done. Like 99% of the time that's accounted for. But however I invite you, whenever I invite you, however that looks, you have my full permission to say no.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And if you say no, great. I just had an awesome Connect call with you. It was lovely catching up. Who do you know in your world? Nobody comes to mind. Great. Let me reach out to someone else. On to the next person.
Yeah.
And you just do that over and over and over and over again. And your skills just, they skyrocket, man. You get really good at being curious about people, asking questions, connecting with people, setting up calls. Everything just starts to get fluid. But you have to earn this fluidity. This fluidity does not come. And that's another, I guess, common self-improvement trope, right? People want confidence before they start doing stuff. But you got to start doing stuff to get confident. They'd be like, I'm just trying to learn Spanish here. My first Spanish lesson is tonight. And it would be, could you imagine if I was like, yeah, I really want to start learning Spanish, John, but I just need the confidence to do so. And it's just like, well, what are you talking about? No, you can start speaking Spanish, go to cafes, start taking lessons, hire a tutor. You know, you gotta do that messy work first. And then over time, you'll start to get more fluid and you'll start to get more confident. So I don't even remember where I was going with that, but here we are.
No, it's so good. Well, you know, what you shared around people's coaches' perspective of what will happen on the Connect, right? Like being concerned about, I don't want to put people in a position to have to say no. It's a great example of how becoming a coach has so little to do with coaching. It has to do with all of these stories and these ways we've conditioned ourselves to stay really stuck. And in that, it's, I'm responsible for how other people feel. You know, for you recognize you had the insight that they can say no. They can say no. They're a big boy. It's a big boy. It's a big girl. If you invite them to a gifted session, there's nothing there. It's not, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity if they see that. And if they don't, they can say no. And I don't have to be responsible for trying to make everybody else feel comfortable, be happy, feel secure. And it's all made up anyways. We're living in this illusion. It's like this just, we all live within our singular illusions and we're operating together in this world and we've got different perspectives and preconceived ideas and all these stories happening. And it's like, man, in the end, it does not matter. And what you're describing, Dylan, is yourself getting to a place where you don't have to obsess about it, think about it. You know, you just do it. And if you do it, or when you do it, you will get better. You will get more smooth. As you said, silky. It will be easier. You won't have to think about it. And that, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, that is what I see as real mastery. You know, mastery is actually not coaching a certain number of hours and having a certain number of degrees. It's actually being able to do what we do without thinking about it. It just comes natural. Like you in New York, meeting people out in public, connecting with them to such an extent that you're like, hey, we should have a gifted session. They're like, definitely. And you're booking sessions in person, out and about, enjoying the nightlife in the city, right?
Yeah, that was it's funny that you brought that up. That was a pivotal moment, because that was like, I think that was 2021. So that was some of my first experience going out you know, post-pandemic, and you know, you're just out and about in New York City where everyone's social and trying to build a good life, and people ask what you do, and they're like, "Oh, coaching, that's awesome! I've always wanted to do a coaching session." You're at a bar, and they're like, "Well, guess what, buddy? That's perfect because I am inviting you to a coaching session with me right now."
Yeah,
and those are great too. I love in-person invites the most because you can just hand my phone with my calendar to them, and I'm like, "Yeah, so just like, what day this week looks good for you?" And they're like, "Oh, this one." I'm like, "Perfect. Here, put your email address in." So I'll, you know, my Zoom link, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's, you build the habit, man. You just build the habit of like, this is what I do. I build relationships with people. I invite people.
Yeah, that's great. It's fun. It feels good. You know, we're coming down toward the end. I feel like we went through connect, invite. There was going to be a quick summary. I was kind of imagining a couple of minutes, you know, connect, invite, coach. You want to be coaching. You want to get better at coaching by coaching, then propose or ask the last step. Yep. Simple question. Are you open to discussing what it would look like if we continue? This has been really great. Now, I don't know that we'll get into that. Let me ask you this, actually, Dylan. What would you say has been the primary theme through this podcast interview and conversation so far?
Courage. So not feeling fearless. And my friend about it this morning. Not being fearless, you know, so much about life tends to give me anxiety and makes me afraid and makes me doubtful. But it is, so like, there's nothing wrong with that. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with feeling these negative things, these, you know, but they only become disempowering if we let these things, again, keep us from doing the work. And so, I certainly felt this way when I was really coming up. I never felt fearless, and I still don't feel fearless, but I felt courageous. It's like, all right, I'm scared and I have my doubts and, you know, I'm nervous about X, Y, or Z, but X, but let me reach out to this person, but let me set up a call, but all right, here we go. Another coaching session. And that's courage. You know, it's not fearlessness. And, I don't know. I don't know if I ever want to become fearless. I feel like that would be so boring. It would feel like I was an actor in college, and I always knew that the best performances I ever did was when I was nervous before the show. Because it's like, wow, I really care about this thing. This is important to me. And obviously, I'm less nervous about, you know, the simple things and the four steps now because I've done it a bunch. But the theme for today, yeah, it feels like it's courage. You don't have to be fearless. You don't have to be absolutely unstoppable. You don't have to be a god or goddess among men, among humans. It's like, you just got to reach out to people, and then next week, reach out to people more, and then set up calls with them, coach them, ask them if they would like to talk about what it would look like if you kept working together. Just keep doing that. And then you do that for several months, a year, then you'll look back and you'll actually, ironically, you'll feel almighty. You'll feel powerful. And you'll certainly look that way to other people. Like, I remember a year in the ICC, I would be connecting with some coaches, and, you know, they would like comment on it. You know, it's like, wow, you seem fearless. Like, you seem fearless just by doing the work consistently. But it's just like, no, it's just about, will you not give up? And, I think this is turning into, I guess, a lot of like cliche self-improvement stuff, but it's just figure out a way to sit down and easily and enjoyably reach out to people every week. Doesn't have to be crazy. You don't have to reach out to 100 people every week. For me, I started up with 5 every single week. And then eventually that became too easy, and I did 10. And then eventually that became too easy, and then I did 20. And I did eventually go up to 30 when I was really, really in it. But it's just like, pick a number, man. Pick a number, reach out to that number of people every single week. Offer to connect, you know, invite them to a coaching session, coach them to the best of your ability, you know, 2, maybe 3 times. After that, if it went well, ask them if they want to, talk about what it would look like if you kept working together, talk about that. And then, it's like, just do that over and over again, and you'll be shocked as to how different and how confident you are in just a matter of, I would say weeks, but yeah, months, absolutely, a year. So, courage, what does that have to do with courage? I don't know, but here we are.
No, it's so good. I mean, that's it. It's more of another example of how these stories show up that keep coaches really stuck. One being, in order for me to do it, or in order for me to be successful, I have to be fearless. So I'm over here working on becoming fearless when I could be over here doing the work. And all that requires is a little bit of courage, which I think is allowing one's mind to let go of any fearful thoughts that show up, which would normally keep one from actually doing it. You know, like I become fearless by exemplifying the courage to move forward. And then I never become fearless because I get to a level of a consciousness or awakeness to the world where I see it's all made up. There is no such thing as fear. There's just thoughts that tell us differently. Like, I don't have as many thoughts that tell me I need to be scared that I used to, because I continue to lean into scary things. It's so good. Let me ask you. So let's shut it down, Dylan. I'll ask you this. This is a question I do like to ask, perfectly relates to what we're talking about. What is your biggest fear?
In life, or in terms of building a coaching business?
I would say whatever showed up in your mind, probably more in life, but just whatever came to mind. What is your biggest fear when you consider all possible fears?
Yeah, it's been kind of the same my whole life, which is underneath it all, underneath my successes, underneath all my skills, underneath, you know, I'm sure someone listening to this might hear me and I'm sure I sound very calm, confident, detached. Underneath everything, though, the fear is it's all fake. And I genuinely, at my heart, at my core, I do not have the competence or the skills or the capabilities necessary to create and sustain a prosperous and meaningful and responsible life. So, like, you know, I want to get married and have kids one day. It's like, well, do you have, I don't know, do you actually have what it takes to buy a house and like figure out taxes and, I don't know, raise children? Yeah. Okay. Like this, you're building this business. And I was like, oh, well, how long is this going to last? It's just about like a fear of being incompetent is really it. Underneath all of this, no matter how intelligent I sound or how smooth my words are, there's a fear of being incompetent and not actually having what it takes, which I know is very common. I hear it with my clients all the time, but turns out I am also just another human being on this planet. So that's my biggest fear.
Beautiful, man. Then last question, what's your biggest dream? You know, having to do with your entire life, not necessarily business, but just the, what's the, I want to say dream or maybe goal. Like, what's the one thing that you absolutely more than anything want to create sometime in your life with the time you have left?
It's a great question. And my answer might disappoint listeners, but there is none. I don't really think about, funny enough, I don't set a lot of goals. I don't really set a lot of goals. I like to put systems in place where I just keep doing the things that I really love to do. So I never set a goal of how many clients I wanted, how much money I wanted. I just set the system of, I'm reaching out to this many people every single week. I love coaching. I'm going to coach as much as I can. I'm going to get as good as I can. I want to keep improving my skills, chess, jujitsu, rock climbing. I don't set any goals. I'm just like, I'm going to keep playing chess. I'm going to keep rock climbing. I'm going to keep doing jujitsu. I have my own podcast. It's like, I'm going to upload this. I'm going to do an episode a week. I'm going to upload this many YouTube videos a week. I don't care. So long as, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm still coaching, still podcasting, I'm still writing, I'm still living a great life. Like, this is the dream. Call it cheesy. Like, I'm living my dream. Like, I'm very, very deeply fulfilled. I'm always trying to improve and grow and change and be open to change. But like, if this is like, I just moved to Argentina, dude. I have the freedom to do that and work from wherever I want. And like, literally, I don't have to ask anyone for permission to do anything. I'm just working on my own creative projects and running my own business. Like, if this isn't the dream, I don't think I'll ever be happy. This isn't enough. But whatever the dream looks like 5 years from now, I have no idea. 10 years from now, I have absolutely no idea. So long as whatever I'm doing at that time is what I want to be doing. So that's the dream. It's about sustaining, and it's not really about getting to a certain point, because I'm at that point.
Wow. So good, man. Thanks for that. That would be very inspiring for everyone as they listen. Last thing, for anyone who's interested in connecting with you, following you, consuming anything that you create, you know, what are the best ways to get in touch with you or see what you're up to?
Dills.blog. dills.blog. That's, I write 2-3 articles a week. Could send those to your email as a newsletter, link to my podcast. I interview YouTubers, content creators, and then, my coaching site is there as well. But other than that, shoot me an email if you want to connect, if you want to just like share some wins. I respond to every email, and this was great. Let me say, I know we're at the end here, John. You didn't ask me to do this, but to anyone who is listening, who is considering really diving into building a coaching business and becoming a world-class coach, joining the Insight Coaching community, absolute best decision I have ever made. I say this wholeheartedly, and John, I tell you this all the time, not to boost your ego, but I owe my career to the community and to you. And every single thing that I know how to do in terms of making money as a coach, coaching really well, building relationships with people, I learned in this community. And I was doing it on my own before then, joined the community and realized I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and just got some of the best training ever. And I'm going on a tangent here, but it was best decision I've ever made. And I owe my entire career and income to it. So you didn't ask me to say any of that. I wanted to make that known here.
Thank you so much, man. You're always so strong in your willingness to share that. I appreciate that. And we're going to actually edit this episode. It's just going to be the last 3 minutes. It's going to be the shortest and the most impactful. It's going to start with, I want to share that I owe my whole career to John Stress from the ICC. Hey, good stuff, man. We'll put your link to your website on our podcast page on our website, insightcoachingme.com/podcast. This will be episode something related to creating courage. Thanks so much, Dylan.
Thank you, John. You're the man. Love you. See you.
Love you too.